As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
You asked for it, so here goes. Now watch this. I am sorry, but this is exciting. Look at this color. Oh my gosh, it's so great.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Monday, March 21st. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our top shot hot boy ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee
Ellis.
And finally, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
Whoa. You all right?
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Bad
weekend.
Right.
Yeah, wow, this weekend was bad. I had no voice yesterday, but yeah, I don't know. Screaming at my kids, I guess.
That'll
takes
do it.
Its toll.
That'll do it. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, like, subscribe. Thrive. Share the show with your friends as well. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Before we get into the winners and losers of the NBA weekend, I gotta know, how's the No Dunks March Madness bracket doing?
If we're trying to shoot the moon, we're doing pretty well here, Skeets.
Oh no.
Did a quick check this morning. No Dunks coming in number 530 out of 594 entries.
Yes!
Wow.
That's
Well, that's rough.
Oh.
But, I mean, it checks out. We don't know anything about college basketball.
Yeah, we said so.
There it is. But I can't believe there's somehow, like, 64 people worse than us. That's what he said?
Yeah, maybe they didn't actually complete their bracket.
Yeah,
I actually couldn't see. I wasn't logged in under our account, and it only shows the top 500 in the standings. So I just had to keep scrolling. I'm like, where are we? Skeets logs us in, and we see 530 of 594. We weren't lying when we said we know nothing.
Yeah,
we know nothing. So, yeah, we lost two of our final four on day one.
Yeah.
And it's just been all downhill since then.
Hey, hold on. We did have your Michigan Wolverines
in
the Sweet 16,
that's
so
true.
We nailed that.
How's Gran? Is Gran still going out there?
She gone!
Oh, you can't ride Gran any longer, Lee. Get off, you sicko. we got off to a rough start, like Trey said, but a lot of fun. Did you watch?
I can't imagine, though. I did know there were a ton of upsets and things happening, though. So I imagine whoever's
well,
at
the one you wanted, St. Peter's.
Yeah.
And their funny little mustaches.
Yes.
They're still alive.
Yes.
That was on me. I talked us out of that, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's the way it goes, though. You know, but that's the thing. Whoever's leading must have less idea than us. Because they must have been picking like Kentucky.
I'm not so sure about that. Yeah.
Well, because you know Kentucky's out, and is Duke out as well?
No. Duke is still alive. Kentucky's anyway. Out. Yeah, and then our wild Iowa State to win it all pick. Yeah. Iowa. Iowa State is actually still alive. Anyway.
All right, we've got the leader right now is the 412 kid who's got Kansas in the championship, winning the championship, and Kansas and Duke the other final member here still available. All four teams in the final four.
That's big.
The 412 kid is looking good.
Okay.
I watched a little of this basketball tournament over the weekend. The main thing that stuck out to me, this is the orangest basketball you have ever seen.
I saw people
it
say
looks like
this.
It's glowing, and it was apparently on purpose, you know, like Wilson came out with some cool fancy basketball using all of their latest basketball tech. It dribbles truer than any ball before. But also, they made it extra orange, so it sticks out on TV. It looks like everybody's on fire.
It has resulted in some wedges, too.
Yeah.
I think there's
been
two or three or something like that in at least the men's bracket. So, yeah, great stuff.
It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend for basketballing. The Zags were fun. Drew Timmy.
Timmy Timmy.
Some push. He looks like Scotty Barnes out there, the way he dinks and dumps.
He's like 15 years older than Scotty Barnes, I think.
He's sad if it
he's
looks
like one of the
like
rare seniors,
he's great. Yeah, he great speech afterwards. He said at halftime, he told his guys, I don't give a flying F what happens out there. We're going to try. Flying F. He bleeped himself.
Wow. That sounds like Tass Mellis.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great fight against Memphis. Memphis almost beat them. That was a really good game. Zags came back.
Penn Tigers there. Almost did it.
Yeah, rough weekend for Memphis in Atlanta anyway.
That's right. We were down at the Fortress on Friday night. The Hawks took care of them. No Trae Young, too.
No. It was surprisingly a bit of a flat game, wasn't it, really, overall? No one had the Hawks blowing out the Grizzlies without Trae Young. But we did have a great moment that you guys would all appreciate here, because just before tip-off, someone came running up the stairs who we both recognized, Sir Foster. So we stopped him, gave him a little, like, dap-up. But he was in a rush.
Oh, yeah.
Taking
a Sir Foster before the game. It was an incredible moment.
Lee even tried to, like,
get a selfie. But
like, Lee was like, as he was running away, like, can we get a photo? And he was long gone. He's like, oh, he's already at the urinal.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop him and say, that's what we call a Sir Foster.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was very excited. We like, we saw Sir Foster. Take a Sir Foster at the Fortress.
That's pretty amazing.
That may have been the highlight of the game. It was pretty flat.
Yeah.
But, great win for the Hawks, and they followed up with an L, of course. Mm. But, it was lacking something there.
We just kept saying, no, this is great. This is great. The Hawks up 20. You know the Grizzlies are going to make a run. Jar's going to turn it on.
True.
He had some nice moments, but none of those, like, classic Jar moments, unfortunately.
The most hilarious part was standing room only, of course.
Yeah.
It's the only way Lee knows how to do. And I'm there with them, having a blast, having a beer. And every time the Grizzlies would, like, maybe get ready to go in transition, Lee would, like, fumble for his phone and then try and record because he's excited Ja's going to do something, you know, in transition. But never really happened.
No.
And if it did, you definitely missed it.
Even in the pregame warm-ups, he threw a high up off the, you know, to bounce it in to throw it in the reverse, and he missed it.
He doinked it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tough.
It's okay.
Not your night. How was the green egg, though?
Do
you have any customers?
No, I didn't wheel the green egg down there.
I forgot about that. Okay, let's get into our actual winners and losers of the NBA weekend.
NCAA? We're going to do some
NCAA? No.
You know who's a winner?
No.
I think the advertisers who put two ads at the top of this show, because I'm convinced they thought we were going to talk about NCAA. This week, two ads off the top of the show. They must think it's an NCAA show. And the people at The Athletic said, that's basketball. Throwing a couple there off the top. That's fine. They're winners. Because we talked to NCAA for like 8 minutes and then a green egg.
Yeah, it's true.
Integration, I don't know.
Who do you have? Who do you have for your big NBA over the weekend? Oh, there it is.
A perfect weekend for the Timberwolves of Minnesota. They just kept picking up half games left and right all weekend. Friday night, they didn't even play, and they improved their position. The Mavs lost to the 76ers. Nuggets lost to the Cavs. That's like hitting a good card out of the community chest when you're playing Monopoly. A bank error in the Timberwolves' favor. Helped them out Friday on Saturday night. Whoa, easy guy. They helped themselves out. The Bucks came to Minnesota. No Giannis. The Bucks are trying to manage a little right knee soreness for their MVP candidate, and the Timberwolves took advantage of that opportunity. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists for Karl-Anthony Towns. 25 points, 4 assists, 3 steals for Anthony Edwards. He had 12 points in the first quarter, looked great, threw down a nice windmill dunk as well. 16 points, 9 assists for D'Angelo Russell. Meanwhile, Nobody on the Bucks scored more than 15 points on the night. The Timberwolves were quicker to the ball all night. They had so many weird bounces where, like, it almost looked like somebody was shooting an air ball. It would just tip the rim and fall right to a Timberwolf who would be able to finish at the rim. They also hit 22 of 47 from three. It was just their night in a dominating win, 138 to 119. This game had it all. Had some drama in the first quarter. Serge Ibaka and Torian Prince get into it. Patrick Beverley sprints over from 40 feet away and just pushes Ibaka. He ended up getting ejected, as did Ibaka. Ibaka did get ejected.
George Hill got ejected
because he got in the mix as well, pushing Beverly after Beverly ran over. Ibaka, I think, got a technical, and maybe there was also a double foul or something like that. But I don't know. I have my problems with Patrick Beverly, but he's bringing some swag and chemistry, no doubt, to the Timberwolves. And I didn't even mind that one. It's like, if you're going to get kicked out, at least make it a cool way of getting kicked out. Also had some comedy, too. After the game, Karl Anthony Towns and Brook Lopez took this classic jersey swap photo. But as you'll see here on YouTube, they didn't actually swap their jerseys. Apparently, Karl Towns' jersey was already going to be raffled away for charity. Sold for $8,100 for the Fast Break Foundation, which is great for them. And also just a hilarious picture. I imagine Brook Lopez got a kick out of this. Turned out to be Minnesota's 10th win in 11 games. They're calling themselves Winnesota on Twitter.
Yep. Nice.
Yep.
Flip it over. Pretty good. And it still gets better because Dallas lost to the Hornets on Saturday. The Nuggets lost to the Celtics on Sunday, which means the Timberwolves have finally clawed themselves out of the play-in into the real playoffs. Currently the sixth seed right now, tied with Denver, but they got a 2-1 tiebreaker. And just a game and a half back of Dallas for the fifth seed. Timberwolves have been playing great. They just haven't gotten many breaks with regards to the Nuggets and the Mavericks playing so well.
Yep.
They finally got a break this weekend, and they did a good job winning their one game that they needed to win. Everybody's a Timberwolves fan right now. I know they're going crazy in the stream team right now. I've never seen such a wolf pack.
What do you think, Lee, of Minnesota's weekend?
It was a fantastic weekend for them, and it could really get even better because two of their next three games are against the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. If they win both of those, they've got the Suns in between that, then they've got the Celtics, so it's a tough schedule
here.
But if they can win those games against the Mavericks, then they can almost sort of get themselves out of playoff or play-in contention, which is, I think, the ultimate goal here. They don't want to have to face anyone in that play. They could still win. They should still win. Yeah, they've been the best team
out of
those.
They should beat a Clippers in a one-game situation if they're 7-8.
But it's it's an unknown thing with the Wolves because they've only been that one time with Karl Anthony Towns. So they've been playing great. The Patrick Beverley thing, I mean, he deserved to get thrown out for just being a dickhead and just, like, you didn't need to come in. And it's third man rule in hockey, isn't it? It's like there was nothing really happening in that scuffle. He comes in and pushes, and I think the refs are just like, just get out. You're just being an idiot tonight. I mean, I've talked glowingly about what Patrick Beverley brings to this team, and in this game it didn't cost them. But if he behaves like that in a playoff game, let's say it is this, you know, one and done play-in, that could cost his team because there was absolutely no reason for him to come in and escalate that to that. So, yes, Patrick Beverley, I've said before, 50% of me loves him, 50% of me can't stand him when he does these things. It didn't cost his team, but you got away with one, I think, there, because this was a very convincing performance otherwise from Minnesota.
Yeah, I wasn't watching it live, but my man Dave Seton said, did you see what Patrick Beverley did? And I thought, you know, considering all the stuff he's done the past week, that it must have been really bad for him to, for my man Seton to say it that way. And then I saw it as just a gentle push. But yeah. As soon as he said that, I was ready to jump on the anti-Patrick Beverley bandwagon. You know, it's a pendulum, baby. It's been swinging in the right direction. It could swing in the wrong direction. But this was, whatever, defending his teammate, get tossed. That shouldn't happen in the playoffs. But yeah, this is a glowing night to drop 138 against a Bucks team. It's still a professional team without Giannis on the defensive end still. That is a lot of points. And Towns felt like he was the best player on the floor in that game. I think that was clear going back and watching this. And that's what the Wolves desperately need. They need that every single night. We talked about it at the beginning of the season, you know, thinking back the first 40 games that this is Anthony Edwards' team. I mean, man, has that flipped. Karl Anthony Towns has shown how freaking great he is, and that's what they're going to need going into the postseason. And Dallas hasn't been playing well, so that bodes well for this week for the Wolves.
You're absolutely right, though. It feels like this is a team a lot of people are cheering for, and it's because they've had, you know, so little playoff success. I mean, making it the one time when Jimmy was there with Karl Anthony Towns, like you said. But, like, I'm all in. I love it. I love seeing their fan base, rabid, pun intended, going nuts over the Wolfpack here, and I hope they do sort of remain out of the play-in and actually in the playoffs. And I think they're going to put up one hell of a fight whoever they play in a first-round series, be it a 3-6 matchup, even if they get up to 5 in a 4-5. It's like, that's going to be... I think will be like a 6-7 game series easily. I don't know. Who knows which way it goes the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at
they're playing with some confidence. And part of that obviously comes by way of a guy like Patrick Beverley with his sort of just attitude, but then Karl-Anthony Towns, like you said, hey, I might be the best player out here on any given night. Anthony Edwards plays that way as well. So, you know, they're going to be playing with a little bit of nothing to lose attitude.
Yeah, and if you look at a team like the Warriors, you know, Steph might not be 100% healthy. Klay is still trying to figure it out. Wiggins has been unconvincing, and even Draymond is sort of coming back. So that could be the best time to play the Warriors. And then look at the Grizzlies. As great as they've been, they haven't proven anything yet in the playoffs. So it doesn't really matter where it is for the Wolves. They're going to feel, at this point, pretty good against one of those teams.
Right, but you did say it. I think of those teams like the Mavericks and the Nuggets, even with the Wolves, Minnesota has the toughest schedule still remaining. So, I mean, they got to still win these games to get in, and those head-to-heads are obviously massive.
Huge, yeah.
Tass, who do you have for a winner of the weekend?
Well, I was in Toronto for the weekend, and I think I needed to be in Toronto on Canadian soil to really understand what Scotty Barnes is all about. We talked about on Friday the Rookie of the Year race. I proclaimed Evan Mobley the winner, and that Scotty was in the 2-3 seed with Cade Cunningham. And then Friday night against the Lakers, he had his career high where he was controlling the game a lot coming down to the fourth quarter. In those last few minutes, he's just so good with the ball in his hands. He's got a lot of responsibility. He can either, you know, get into the lane and dink and dump, or he's so good at driving, putting the ball way over his head and taking some hits into the body and then throwing it up. And then if he's not part of the play, of course he will be part of the play. He makes himself known on the glass. He had 17 boards in this game to go along with 6 assists. Just a great night for Scotty Barnes. Yeah, they lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. The banks are open late in Canada. LeBron with that crazy three there late. But yeah, he was solid in that game. So just to add that, and I still think Evan Mobley's the guy with the whole package. But going into Sunday, the Raps, they bounce back, baby. They played the Sixers on the road, and they showed why nobody really wants to play this team, because they can just get so gritty. You think Joel Embiid led offense against this team that only plays 6'9 guys would find a way to mash the Raptors. But Scotty Barnes did a very good job on James Harden. Again, coming down the stretch, had to guard James Harden. He was only 6 of 20. And then Joel Embiid was going up against Precious Achiuwa. They got that little relationship, the Nigerian-Cameroonian relationship. And Precious Achiuwa had no problem trying to guard him. Obviously, Embiid just missed some shots, but as soon as they put the ball on the floor, Nick Nurse had his guys just going at Embiid, and they're solid. They're very, very solid. 6 of 20 on defense, Embiid on this night. So the Raptors didn't allow Embiid or Harden to score over 21. The 76ers are 8-3 with James Harden, but it doesn't feel like a very good 8-3 whatsoever. Jimmy James was passing off a lot in this game, and the Raps did a good job, including Scotty Barnes, just to get an ugly, ugly, ugly win. And you could see that going into the postseason.
Yeah, that felt like again. A postseason game. That's what you're going to see, I think, from Raptors games in the postseason.
Straggling. And, and Scotty Barnes came back to earth in this game. 6 of 21 on 13 points. I think he's feeling so good. He's starting to pull up a lot from three-point land, or just pull up. And off the dribble, that's not him. That's just not his game quite yet. But he's, you know, he's feeling good. And obviously, he's going to get better come the offseason. So, you know, the Raps, an up-and-down weekend, just like the Lakers, an up-and-down weekend. But you know, they got to feel good. They got to feel good going into the postseason that they can win with defense. And with no Fred out there, you know, 1-1's a fine weekend.
Yeah, Scotty clanked a couple of free throws late in this one. So did Precious miss one. So the Raptors nearly blew it, even though they sort of had control there. But I think the Raptors right now are feeling pretty good. Fred, the injury is a bit of a concern because it is that knee. And again, he's played a ton of minutes, so we'll see how that sort of works out. But overall, I think a pretty good bounce back. I don't know if the Raptors just took their eye off the ball against the Lakers on Friday night, but Russell hit that big three. Oh.
Drake was shocked.
I mean, everyone was shocked because it was like
The corner. He just hit the corner of the backboard.
Yeah, you would live with that shot every single time. You say, fine, take that shot to win or to tie the game at least, and they did. So good on Russ. They celebrated, then they lost. lost to the Wizards the next night.
Yes, they did.
That's how it is, you know. Some funny stuff. LeBron claiming that when he saw Scottie Barnes play in seventh grade that he instantly knew he was going to be a star. Yeah. Very funny. Trumped by Scottie Barnes saying that he liked Kobe more than LeBron. Even though Scottie Barnes grew up in Florida, he would have been like 10 or 11 years old when LeBron won his first title with the Heat. I don't know if maybe he's more of a Orlando Magic fan growing up, but that was very funny to me. And then a nice scrap out win for the Raptors yesterday, 20 offensive rebounds against the Sixers, who obviously have a huge dude in Joel Embiid, 50 points in the paint, 18 second chance points. Like, they just out-physicaled a team that's bigger than them, so that's super impressive.
And it didn't look great when they started that game. They were down in a big hole against Philly last night, but got back into it. And Precious Achiuwa, I mean, this is the guy that some Raps fans were getting excited about when they did the, you know, the sign-and-trade there with the Heat, and Lowry goes there, and Goran Dragic comes back. That's contract reasons. You know, he's obviously barely even played and then was gone. But it was Precious as the piece where you're like, you know, if you watched him on Miami, you're like, there's something here. And then he just got off to a brutal start. To start the season with Toronto. And I mean, I remember talking here going like, this guy keeps botching, like, can't catch the ball. He's like missing bunnies and
can't
like
run and dribble.
Yeah. And he is on a tear right now. Suddenly he can't miss from three. And then the defensive presence, like you guys were pointing out against Embiid last night, he just looks like a completely different player, I would say, over the last couple of weeks, which is a huge boon for the Raptors.
Yeah. And Nick Nurse, I think, has done a good job sort of trusting him, because early on there was a few times his decision making was awful. And you thought, how much longer can he keep this guy out there for? So he's obviously shown some trust in him. He's worked with him. And now Precious is repaying it.
Yeah, for sure. Lee, who do you have for a winner of the weekend?
The team that is still just continuing to roll is the Boston Celtics right now. Another fantastic week. Oh, they beat the Kings. Who cares? But last night in Denver, they absolutely pounded the Nuggets. I mean, this one's over in the first half. It was an absolute bloodbath there against a team that is also struggling. And if you look at just the efficiency here of the way the Celtics played, 57% they shot from the field, 19 for 40 from threes, that's 47%, 11 for 11 from the line. I mean, there wasn't tons of free throws because this game was over. And then they just didn't turn it over eight times in there last night, 29 assists, 38 rebounds. They just suffocated Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, and it wasn't even close. And I like the way that they defended Jokic. He had one of his worst performances because he just could never get going. And it was Robert Williams, Grant Williams, Al Horford, they all had a go at him. After the game, Grant Williams calling himself Batman because he stopped the Joker. Even his own teammates, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, weren't really feeling it. But you know what? The Celtics, though, like, on, you know, their defense is incredible right now. But on offense, the way that that ball moves, everyone knows exactly what the play is, who's getting the shot, where it's going to, and they just look almost unguardable. The Nuggets certainly yesterday had absolutely no answer whatsoever. And it gets even better here for the Celtics because they are now two games clear of Chicago for fifth. They are tied with Philadelphia for third at 3.5 games back of Miami, who's the leader, and only half a game back of the Bucks here.
Yeah, I know.
The Celtics could finish second.
Yeah.
They absolutely could. They got the Thunder next, so that's
They've
enough.
Won something like 21 of 25 games, and like they're one of the most dominant 25-game runs of all time in terms of just point differential. Like,
yeah.
Hammering teams.
And the eye test certainly backs that up. There's no sort of lucky wins. There's no like, oh, they're beating up on all bad teams. They're playing some good teams here and beating them. And yeah, so they've got the Thunder next. Then they've got Utah and then Minnesota. So, you know, that's a couple of tougher games there. But after that, they've got a reasonable schedule here to close out. They do play Miami once and Milwaukee. But I can see Boston right now. They don't have any significant injuries. They're playing really, really well. I can see them slipping into second in the East.
Are they a title contender, the Boston Celtics? Do they need to be included you know, on the short list there of teams that could actually win this whole thing? What do you think, Trey?
I think so. Yeah. I think they play great defense, and they got a guy in Jason Tatum who can go for 30 any night. He had 30 against the Nuggets, as did Jaylen Brown. Like, if you're able to get 30 from two separate players and you play defense the way the Celtics do, you're certainly a contender in my book, especially because they've got mostly solid players the entire way through. Peyton Pritchard, he's like their only small guy out there, and he's shooting the ball incredibly well right now. So, you know, maybe come playoff time, teams get a lot more daring about like trying to have Marcus Smart beat them, trying to, you know, target their two bigs lineup, like trying to put Robert Williams into stuff, maybe attacking Grant Williams just because he's a little slow of foot sometimes. So there are things that will get tougher, I think, for the Celtics in the playoffs, but I mean, they're on a roll right now. Their fans were so loud in Denver that Mike Malone said it was a Celtics home game. Nice stuff. That was loud. Like, There were some loud MVP chants for Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And there's an MVP candidate
yeah.
playing for the Nuggets.
That won it last year.
That was wild, yeah.
Who's the actual MVP, or at least still reigning. Anything to add to Boston here?
Well, I think the beauty of the Eastern Conference, a lot of the time we come into playoffs and say, oh, it's wide open. You know, like we feel like these second-tier teams, like if they're not part of the absolute top, that we still think they can get in. But when it comes down to it, they can't. But in this instance, it really feels like any of these teams can get through. And I think that includes the Boston Celtics. I think they do a good job with the bigs in the Eastern Conference that seem unstoppable in Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo. They've got that sort of defensive advantage.
Yep.
So really, I think anybody can win a couple series and blow through it. I don't think there is, by far and away, a number one team in the East. The Bucks should be the favorite.
So you
Heat
think you're,
are
you're
right
putting,
there.
Yeah, you're putting Miami, you're putting Milwaukee. Sounds like you're probably still putting Philly, though maybe you're questioning that a little bit.
For sure.
You're obviously including Boston at this point.
It's wide open.
And then what? The Brooklyn Nets factor with Kevin Durant.
Of course.
And of course, Kyrie.
Yeah, and I think...
Does it stop there, or like are the Bulls in there, or the Raptors in there? Probably, I think you're starting to cut it there.
Yeah, it's probably starting to cut it there.
Yeah, but, so five teams.
But, it feels like, again, any of those teams can falter, though, at the top. So why can't the Bulls get hot? The problem is you do have to get into a flow before the playoffs. I mean, it has to happen at some point, especially because your first-round matchup is kind of tough. So the Celtics, the fact that they've won 21 of 25, they got to feel good.
I got a few mini-winners here. Let's get to LeBron, all right? Finally, for somebody in the stream team freaking out, when are you going to talk about LeBron? Let's talk about LeBron, okay? He passed Karl Malone. He's now number two on the scoring list. So he's done it. He entered Saturday night just 19 points behind Karl Malone's 36,928, which has stood as the second most in NBA history for like two decades.
Yeah.
But LeBron played in this game after heavy minutes, you know, the game before. Trey, you had said, I don't think he's going to play against Washington because of the little back-to-back situation. He'll probably then play
Cleveland
tonight. And instead, Saturday night, LeBron, I guess, through warm-ups, felt good. And he said, let's give it a go. And easily got to the point mark in passing Karl Malone. It was funny because we had to debate what they were going to do when he did that. Now, I know it happens on the road here, but they didn't stop the game. Game continued. Then there was a foul. Satoransky, he was upset about the foul. He could have complained about that. LeBron did. And then they put it up, obviously, on the big screen that he's just passed Karl Malone. And nice little standing ovation. But there was no stoppage. There was no gameplay.
Yeah.
I know we were having that debate what they were actually going to do. And in the end, they really didn't do much at all. Just said, hey, way to go. Way to score a bunch of points.
Very nice that he got to celebrate with his old teammate, KCP, there.
Yes. It was beautiful.
LeBron daps up KCP after passing Karl Malone for second all-time scoring. Weird headline, but I loved watching LeBron break the record with, like, a flurry of scoring. You know, it wasn't just like he barely got to 20 points over the course of the game. He caught fire in the second quarter. And it was very funny to see him hitting, like, these massively long three-pointers when early in his career it was like, you got to give him the three. Play off him and give him the three. Not anymore. Times have changed. That was really cool.
In the past 2 weeks, LeBron has eclipsed 50 points twice. He's become the first player in NBA history to hit 10,000 points, rebounds, and assists. Nobody's hit those marks in all three. And now he's passed the mailman here. But then the funny part of all of this is the Lakers lose this game.
Yeah.
They're 11 games below 500 after losing to Washington.
I mean, they're going to still make the play-in. So that's just the way it is. LeBron, though, it's just going to be really to see how close he gets to Kareem by the end of this season. They've probably got, 11 or 12 games left, I guess. I expect he's going to play in most of those and, you know, try to fill it up as much as he can so that next season he overtakes Kareem pretty early.
And is he going to still gun for the scoring title here?
Of course,
neck and neck between...
Yeah.
LeBron, Embiid, and Giannis. It's like if one guy scores one more basket, they automatically take the lead. That's how tight it is. So we'll see how he wants that.
Last day of the season, imagine we have them both all three of them going for like 50 to try to win it. That'd be fun,
Could be in play, but they did lose.
Yeah.
So they couldn't stop Porzingis.
In the fourth.
Yeah.
They have no size, really. I mean, LeBron is their center. It was an unfortunate fourth quarter. I will say that for them, their lack of depth really showed in this game, because their starters actually played really well. Starting unit, they're plus +7 in the first quarter, and then in the third quarter, they also won those minutes, but their depth killed them in the fourth quarter. They're up going into the fourth, and then the backcourt of Avery Bradley and DJ Augustine and front court of Wendy Gabriel and Carmelo Anthony, along with Westbrook, couldn't find the hole. And then they got down. And then, rose-colored glasses. Their starters are playing well. Add Anthony Davis playing 40 minutes at a great level, and maybe you don't have to go to Wenyan Gabriel and friends right. deep down in the rotation. Yeah, they are going to need some miracles like they got Friday night to end games to win like they did against the Raptors. But there was some good signs of the Austin Reaves, Malik Monk, Westbrook, James, and Stanley Johnson five-man unit. There was cutting. There was baskets. They did outplay the Wizards starters when they were on the floor both times, but then the bench gave it away.
We will see when LeBron now just surpasses Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, knock on wood that he doesn't get injured here over the last stretch of this season, then early next season. But like, if he keeps up this sort of scoring pace, you know, 25 to 29 a night, it's not going to take all that long next year.
No, it should be, I think, in the first half of next season, assuming he's healthy. Yeah, so great.
And for just, that, they will stop the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder how far ahead he will get. He'll crack 40,
he's 40K,
I think.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, I saw Brian Windhorst on ESPN had a long article about LeBron is... I don't want to put words in Windhorst's mouth, but the idea that he's changing the narrative for, like, the greatest of all time in the sense that it's longevity, of course, coming into play. And just the accumulation and being so good for so long.
Yes.
And that's the one thing he's going to hold over, of course, MJ, if you're comparing the two.
But, I mean, to have the hype he's had coming in from high school to the NBA and then exceeded that, I think he's incredible. And so
it's amazing.
That's the thing. You can love or hate LeBron, but for a kid to come in at 18 years of age and have basically, you know, 19, 20 years later, still playing at an elite level and breaking records. He's got the championship. He should have had way more MVPs than he's got. I mean,
how many did you have him down for again?
I think 11. I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. Forgot about
that. The hardest thing, I think, in sport is to live up to any hype, expectation. You know, you think of how many guys have come through drafted high, and, you know, number one, number two, whatever, and they've fizzled out or haven't even gotten close to the expectations, and he just continues to exceed them.
The longevity argument, it ain't going to win any arguments.
No?
No. You're in a barber shop, and you say, but LeBron played longer and stronger. It's not a good argument. It's not a good argument
if
winner.
If you're Team LeBron, it is. I mean, that's the thing. People have their Team
LeBron,
the longest.
Team MJ. Give me Kevin Willis, baby.
Vince Carter?
No, I mean, what he's doing is absolutely incredible. It's not an argument buster. The word longevity in an argument, it's not a winner for me. Obviously, he's incredible, and he's going to be the number one scorer.
Okay, what about
pretty
this?
Soon.
What if his son shouldn't even be in the NBA league, but gets drafted because LeBron has basically guaranteed, I'm going to your team if you draft my son. They draft him. LeBron goes there, and then he wins a title with his son, Bronny G.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good. good exclamation point on that.
It'd be a hell of an exclamation point for sure.
Of course.
Which team has LeBron scored the most points against?
Ooh.
Well, that's a good cue.
It's got to be an Eastern.
Yeah. Eastern Conference, for sure. I don't think you think of this as a LeBron rival at all.
Milwaukee,
it is.
Wow.
1,723 points. Which team has he scored the fewest points against?
Probably a West Coast
San Antonio?
Team.
No?
Oh. You use your old noodle here on this one.
Yeah. Is it newer?
No. It makes a lot of sense when you consider LeBron's career, which team he would have scored the fewest points against.
Cleveland.
That's right.
Right.
Cleveland.
Good call. Good call.
Where would be the funniest place for LeBron to break the record next year?
Wow.
Sacramento. I mean, a late one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess. At least, I don't know. I guess they had a rivalry.
The king.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not bad.
That's where he scored his
career.
Yeah.
All right, I'm rooting for Sacramento now.
All right. I have a couple other mini winners here. The Cavs. You know, you're talking about the Raptors trying to catch them, but the Cavs held on to the sixth seed over the weekend.
Yep.
They did a good job. Two wins. Friday night, they beat the Nuggets in overtime. We'll get to that when I talk about Denver in a little bit when we get to losers. And then Saturday, the Cavs held on, beat that scrappy Pistons team by 4. So they're looking good that they are going to probably stay out of the play-in. I don't want to jinx it for them, but they hold the tiebreaker over the Raptors, which is huge. I mean, that means, you know, Raps got to clear them by a game there when it comes down to it, because they beat them 3 times this season, so they have a 4th game, but it won't matter in the head-to-head tiebreaker. So just some pretty impressive victories. I thought the Friday night one, Lauri Markkanen, huge. season high 31 for him, and then you had Garland and Mobley doing their thing. And you talked up Scotty Barnes, you know, and him maybe like making it a little bit closer in the rookie of the year race. Sure. But, you know, Mobley had an awesome game on Friday night, you know, not as amazing on Saturday, but still. He's probably holding on to this thing, I think, in the end. As great as Scotty Barnes and Cade to some extent have played, I think he will, and I think the Cavs are gonna hold on too. I do. Those were massive wins over the weekend.
They were. If Nikola Jokic, I wish that shot went into at the end of regulation. Oh, yeah. That would have been the perfect. It was close.
It was very close to going.
It was incredible. Yep. Just the classic driveway Dirk, dad Dirk Jokic shot from deep. So, unfortunately, yeah, tough weekend, though, here for the Nuggets. But, yeah, the Cavs and the Bulls now, they're in a real battle here to get to that, stay in that sixth.
Big week.
Well, my final winner is the Bulls. Just a minor one here because Patrick Williams is set to make his return tonight against the Raptors. First game since having wrist surgery in October. We haven't seen Patrick Williams in a long, long time. He's supposed to be on a minutes restriction here, so he probably will not start, be in a reserve role. But the Bulls could use anything right now. Yeah. Probably a little injection of life. Three-game losing streak. They've dropped 8 of their past 10.
Yeah, it's been ugly for the Bulls. Yeah. They're coming up a little bit later, but good to see Patrick Williams coming back. But a lot of expectations on a guy that's played 76 games in his career to come in and be like the only big body out on the wing, helping the defense. But any little bit of juice is going to help at this point right now. The Bulls just need something to energize them a little bit.
Absolutely. Okay, so those are our winners of the NBA weekend. Anyone else you want to throw in there? I know there was some love on Twitter for the Pelicans, who, you know, sure.
Up into ninth.
Exactly.
They have.
Get a home court advantage there. Right. They play those Lakers in that play-in tournament.
Oh, the Lakers love playing on the road.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So maybe them, but let's hear from you guys in the stream team. Other winners of the NBA weekend. Let us know in the YouTube comments or tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Take our first break. When we come back, we'll get to the losers.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, we've done the winners of the NBA weekend. Let's do the losers. Tass, who do you have?
I don't want to get nasty with the referees here, but got to get a little nasty with the referees here. Just a little bit. I mean, people complaining about the NCAA refs this weekend. There are some brutal ones. But the Spurs-Warriors game, it got odd. In the third quarter, the Warriors, who are fighting to try and get a flow here, they don't have Steph. And then Draymond Green was tossed. And it was an interesting one because he was angry about a call against him. Okay, got a technical for it. A little too much talking. Then they go to the other end. Wiggins gets a call. The Warriors actually get a call, but Draymond Green has not stopped talking.
Yep.
And so he goes to the referee, and it's easily visible. He was just saying, that was terrible. That was terrible. And that's all he said.
Oh.
Did he deserve it?
I mean, at a certain point, you have to stop.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Deserved it.
That's true.
100%. I mean, okay. He actually gets away with so much
he does.
Complaining yeah. and barking. He does. And they go, okay, like, let Draymond go. And then eventually you got to be like, okay, man, come on.
The funny part is, yeah, the Warriors were getting a call. And then as soon as he was tossed, that's when he really went
yeah,
off.
Yeah, then he went nuts. Yeah, he's got a fine coming.
And then the funny part is he goes to Steve Kerr and he tells him what he said. And the Steve Kerr's mad. He's like, come on! Well, that's quite reasonable.
I would be saying to him, yeah. He was like that meme.
Yeah, so he was fine with it. Anyway, so Draymond's tossed, and they don't have Steph. They don't have Draymond at this point in the fourth quarter. The Spurs are trying to get into the play-in, though. So this is an important game. We're tied at 107. Time ticking down here. Jordan Poole goes for the winner, misses. Andrew Wiggins comes up with the rebound. 3 seconds left. Touch foul. It's not even a foul. He's sort of looking at the bench. I think they were thinking about calling a timeout there because the Warriors had a timeout. But the referee there, I think she may have thought that the score was different than it was. She may have thought that the Spurs were intentionally fouling because there is absolutely no way this was a foul call. So a wild one to send Andrew Wiggins to the line. He buries the first. Good for him. He has been terrible at the free throw line, 33% since the All-Star break. But he buries that first one. And then on the second one, an over-the-back call on Kevon Looney as he battles Jakob Poeltl, who comes up with the rebound. Poeltl comes up with the rebound, but the foul goes on Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
And so in that instance, Ed Malloy whistles. I think he could have even gone to the other officials after he saw that the Spurs came up with the rebound and said, you know what, we'll just say it was an inadvertent foul because the Spurs came up with a rebound. They called timeout immediately. Jakob Poeltl called timeout immediately, but instead they call a whistle for an over-the-back, which from his angle kind of looked like it, but a crazy call to send Jakob Poeltl, another bad free throw shooter, to the line.
His free throw technique is the old one-hander.
Oh, yeah.
Put it there and let it go.
So a couple of bad free throw shooters here. Makeup call. Maybe they didn't feel as bad for the makeup call because it's terrible free throw shooters. Oh, they'll just miss both anyways. But he buries the first, the 49% free throw shooter does. And then the second one is a wild bounce, and it gets to Keldon Johnson of the Spurs. It's a tie game at this point. He just tosses it up, banks it home.
Oh, yeah.
Game winner. Good night, Warriors. So a tough loss for them. They should have, you know, won it earlier. Draymond shouldn't have got tossed. But just some odd refereeing. Do you want a makeup call there? Because it definitely wasn't a foul on Wiggins. He goes to the line. And Malloy, I'm not sure if it was makeup. Again, there was a little bit of tussling going on. But how you call an over the back in a free throw line with 3 seconds left, I can't even come up with a reasonable excuse to do that.
No, that sort of stuff happens. They said Bob Fitzgerald on the call. That happens every game, every possession almost, where there is some contact. You could call it. In a game like that, it felt to me very much like we really botched the last one, so we'll give the Spurs a chance here. Poeltl might save us. He didn't because he knocked one in and then they got it on the end there. But the Draymond stuff, I thought Draymond was right in the foul was a bad call. The original call, he went straight up and there wasn't much contact there. But he just did not stop. And that's the problem.
That's when it doesn't matter what he's actually saying to the official.
Yeah.
He will not stop saying it. He could just keep saying, erroneous, erroneous on both accounts, erroneous. It's like, you're not swearing at the guy, but at a certain point, like, okay, come on,
because he did the big ball don't lie when Vassell missed the...
Airballed.
Airballed
the technical free throw.
And
that
then he got
crazy.
The second tech as well, Vassell. So that's, I guess, Pop saying, listen, get back up there and face your demons. But anyway, originally I was looking at this, I'm like, all right, Draymond, sometimes when a ref makes a bad call and they get abused, they hit them with the immediate tee. He didn't do that. He sort of gave, I think, Draymond a bit of leeway, say, yeah, maybe it wasn't a great call. But then it was just like, you just can't stop talking. And then when the possession is over and it's down the other end and he's still going, at that point I'm with the ref. I'm just like, he's not going to stop, so just get out. Like, you don't want the refs to have such an influence on the game. But Draymond, surely. And Draymond's done this before, remember? It's cost the Warriors against that Hornets game, remember, when it was, I think it was last season, and it was the jump ball and it went against him. He got ejected was like, I've got to be better than that. I've got to be a better leader. Yes, he does. And this was not the time for him to completely lose his mind like that. So, did he deserve it in the end? He basically forced the referee. He sort of forced the referee's hand because I've been a ref and I know what it's like.
What? Hold on. What do you mean?
Well, I'm reffing kids, you know. But it's like you just get to a point where you're like, okay, man, you've said your piece.
You kicked a kid out of a game?
Well, I want to not it.
Get him out of here.
No, but I mean, whenever I've like reffed adults games, and there's those guys who just like they something happened 10 plays ago, and they're still talking about it. And you want to just say, listen, have you seen yourself play? Really? Do you think you've got that credibility to?
Oh, this is the official that thinks he's better than the players. Yeah.
Anyway, Draymond, it's hard to have a whole lot of sympathy for him in the end.
I guess, the silver lining of all this, we're sort of burying the refs in this one game, is if you watched any college basketball, you go, could be worse. could be a hell of a lot worse. Thank God for NBA refs. But yeah, that was a rough one, that game.
It's still, roughing is still a tough job.
Oh, very.
But Eddie knows what he's doing. I don't know. I'm tired of naming refs. I didn't name...
How about Marat Kogut?
Yeah.
That's who called the technicals, right?
Yeah. And Natalie Sago was the one who called it on Andrew Wiggins.
You know too many.
What about this ref?
what about this ref? Oh, man.
I
respected Natalie Sago by not naming her. Just wanted to name Ed Malloy, but... After you gave... What's his name?
Marat Kogut. That was who they got, that Draymond was getting it in. I'm with you, Lee. It was like, he was giving him every chance to not get kicked out of the game. He was happy to hit him with one technical. We shoot an air ball free throw and call it even. But Draymond, I mean, honestly, it's a little bit Devin Vassell's fault. If he makes that free throw, Draymond doesn't get the chance to scream, ball don't lie, 100 times in his face. But Draymond can't get kicked out there. The Warriors...
I'm with you.
...are in a playoff race right now for the second seed. Without Curry, they need Draymond out there to be dishing and distributing the ball and playing defense, obviously. But also, shout out to Jakob Poeltl, just showing up in another moment again. He's like always the supporting guy in all of these great moments this season. So, weird season for him. But a nice win for the Spurs. I guess they're still in the
mix. They're still
a little bit in the mix.
Alive. You had the Pelicans winning, but the Lakers are losing games. Yeah, they're still in there. Okay, my loser of the weekend. I'm going to go with Denver because two losses over the weekend. To Cleveland, and you said they got hammered by Boston there. They've dropped down into the play-in tournament. I thought the game against Cleveland, where they lose in overtime, they just shot themselves in the foot. 2 minutes left in overtime, Aaron Gordon got called for just a dumb travel right under the rim, shuffling the feet a little bit. You know, it's one of those ones where it's like, you could call that a lot more than they do.
For sure.
But they called it, so it's just a bad one. Then they let Caris LeVert out-hustle them to an offensive rebound. Mm-hmm. A lot of ball watching on that one from Denver. Great rebound from Caris LeVert, but nice dish too to Mobley. He dunks it. Tie game at 114. 40 seconds left. You don't see this from the Joker often. He got doubled on the baseline. Mm-hmm. They sent it at a great time. It sort of confused him a little bit, the timing of it. And then he just threw the ball away. I think he thought he saw Gordon under the rim.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even a bad close. Pass, yeah. And again, you just don't see Jokic make mistakes, you know, that glaringly in a tight game usually. The next possession, they stop Garland at the rim. But again, they can't get the rebound. I think he actually gets it again, if I remember correctly. Kicks it out to Lauri Markkanen, who splashes the three. I mean... The percentage that NBA players hit on an offensive rebound that leads to a three, like, kicked out, it feels like it's 80%. It's like they almost never miss. So that was huge. I mean, if they could just secure that rebound, they're still in this. And then finally, Denver down 3, 10 seconds to go. Jokic gets the ball to Bones Highland. It's a nice look. He's on the wing, and he sort of just bricks it. So it's just like the Cavs fought hard. Again, great rebounding. Mobley was pretty clutch down the stretch, but some uncharacteristic look, is what I'm trying to say there. Uncharacteristic mistakes there from Denver.
Jokic looked just gassed as well.
Yeah.
Getting beaten for those defensive rebounds and then the sort of the sloppy couple of passes that he doesn't usually make bad decisions like that. And it was just 5 minutes too long. They just needed to win that one in regulation, the Nuggets, and they couldn't. They got very, very close here. But you just feel that the workload maybe on Jokic
catching up
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, because Mobley's young legs and his athleticism really made Jokic look kind of old and slow there in that last couple of minutes.
And then there had been some optimism with the Nuggets that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. could be back in time for the playoffs, you know, maybe down the home stretch here. But comments from Michael Malone on Friday tests suggest that they're not maybe that close. Like, he says there's no imminent return, so okay. And then he also added, Malone did, that Murray still has some hurdles to overcome in his return from a torn ACL. I think that's looking less and less likely, especially like a Murray, that you're going to what are you going to be rushing this guy back for? He's obviously like a cornerstone to your franchise. Like, at a certain point, you got to play the long game, I think, especially as they fall down the standings, unfortunately.
Sure. Going about it the other way, you'd think that they look at it and say, we got a shot if Jamal Murray is back. And why shouldn't they? They've got one of the best players in the world playing for them. In a Western Conference, it's not, you know, the Phoenix Suns are by far and away the number one team, but then a bunch of question marks as we've gone through. So yes, it is unfortunate, but it sure is looking that way. And Jokic was asked about it, and he says, I just go about it the way of saying to myself, he is not coming back. That's how he feels about it. And I don't know if this news is weighing on his mind. Probably not. He's the Joker. He did GAF. But he's doing a good job of being the number one guy. I definitely think this limits their ceiling. You know, I don't think they can win without somebody like him, like Jamal Murray, being dynamic in the playoffs.
I agree.
Just, hey, we need a bucket here. If you're going to get it out of the Joker's hands and double, and you're going to really rely on Monte Morris or whether it's Bryn Forbes or Austin Rivers to make some buckets, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask. So, yeah, this is unfortunate news for sure because we are getting close. You know, we've been saying
we got 10 games.
We got 10 games.
At some point, he needs some real time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that even if you bring Murray back now, 10 games after missing a year is not enough time to be back in the playoffs, especially if you're expected to be the number two guy and a player who has raised his game in the playoffs before. I also think Will Barton is running out of steam a little bit here. He's kind of struggled the past 2 months. His percentages are going down. His scoring's going down. Everybody on the Nuggets is just a little bit overtaxed this year, Jokic included. So if he has a bad week, it's not surprising, right? Because there's a lot on his shoulders. There's a lot on Barton's shoulders. Like, he's their number two option. Aaron Gordon's had a nice season as well, but Barton is like their number two offensive option. And if that's the case, like, he should probably be a number four or maybe like a number one guy off the bench. But Nuggets are just running out of steam a little bit is what it felt like over the weekend. And that definitely hurts Jokic's MVP chances. Mm-hmm. They're not giving an MVP to a guy who finishes in seventh seed in the play-in tournament. I mean, obviously they got a chance still to get out of it. 10 games remain. We shall see. But that was a little bit of a strike against them, no doubt, this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. They're 12 games above 500, but similar records to the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid and his MVP candidacy. But, yeah, it's an eyesore. You look at the standings because voters will look at the standings, and it is. It's a mental knock. We look at the standings all year long, and even if their records are close, it's terrible, and it's terrible for the Nuggets playoff chances because we were hanging on. And Sham Sharanya on his Inside Pass article for The Athletic also confirms a couple guys that aren't going to be back. Zion Williamson not expected to return to play this season, as we've sort of talked about, but they're finally at least saying that type of thing. Before it was, we'll see. But now Sham's reporting not expected to return to play, although he's making progress towards getting on the court, and Damian Lillard will miss the remainder of the season, as we expected.
You lock that in. I've got another loser of the weekend, Mr. Temperpoy, Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the running, at least, on Friday's Drop podcast. The Knicks, they blew an opportunity to at least make like the final couple weeks a little more interesting in terms of their chances getting into the play-in, but they lost on Sunday to the Jazz, and Randle finished 6-21 from the field, 1-6 from 3, 13 points, and then in the final couple seconds got into a little skirmish there with Rudy Gobert, and he just had a bad stretch. I mean, he missed a bunny, blew an easy layup when they were like down 6 was a couple minutes ago, then he lost the ball in traffic, and the Boo Birds were out in the Garden. This guy just like looks so ready for this season to be over and just like just forget about this one, bury this one, because it's been a rough year for
him. Even Mike Breen on the call was exasperated, I would say, with a few Knicks plays in that fourth quarter, because they got it to within 4 and they had the ball, they had a chance to make it a one possession game there, and I can't remember exactly what that play was. I think it was just a turnover, and Breen was just like, another bad possession, you know, like just that, like he's seen enough. He needs the next season to, he needs to get to the playoffs.
They're done. I mean, I think we were calling that a couple of weeks ago, that their chances were pretty slim, but now I think they're, and not that the Hawks are like really like cementing their spot in the play-in.
Five games out though, like it's hard to imagine the Knicks stringing together enough wins to make up 5 games over the course of 10 games. At the end of this, they were saying Rudy Gobert, he's being nice. He's being nice to Julius Randle, putting his arm around him, you know, trying to be like, hey, it's all right, man. We're having a good game. Come on. Rudy Gobert's got to be talking trash there at that point. Like, you guys blew it.
I mean, Randle had comments after the game. Like, he wasn't upset with Gobert either. Yeah. He's obviously frustrated. Sure. I think it's a big part of it. So, we'll slip him in there. Trey, who do you have for a loser of the weekend?
Much like the Nuggets had a tough weekend, as did the Dallas Mavericks. They'd won 8 of 10 after the All-Star break, and they finally had a bad weekend. They got the full brunt of the Sixers on Friday night. Joel Embiid scored 21 in the first half, finished with 32, 8 boards, 4 assists, 5 steals. Harden was good, 24 points, 12 assists. He scored or assisted on 15 straight points in the fourth quarter. Philly hit 16 threes. Six of their players hit more, two or more. Great stuff. And they did a good job on Doncic as well. Doncic had just 17 points on 5 of 20 shooting, 2 of 10 from 3 in the loss on Friday. Also had 6 turnovers because Philly went to zone defense, and it really took the Mavericks out of their usual rhythm. They followed that up, the Mavs did, with a loss in Charlotte on Saturday. Mavs have been really good defensively lately, but the Hornets hung 129 points on them, 23s for Charlotte, 7 players in double digits, including a season-high 21 from 3J Washington. That's what Eric Collins was calling him. Nice, I love it. Oh, sick Jason Williams pass from LaMelo in this one, the no-look in the lane, a legitimate no-look, and guess what? I fooled you. This is actually a stealth winner for the Hornets. Yeah. 4 straight wins for Charlotte, half game ahead of the Hawks right now for 9th in the East. Over the weekend, you saw a lot of tweets about them being the perfect 500 team, because before this win against the Mavericks, they were 35-35, 17-17 at home, 18-18 on the road, 22-22 against the East, 13-13 against the West. Wow. Obviously, that's a little bit up right now, but a bummer end to the road trip for the Mavericks. They started 3-0. They lost their last 2. Now they got to play the Wolves tonight. This is a huge game, and it's the Tass Mellis trap game. You're coming home after a long road trip. This could be an opportunity for the Wolves to steal one here tonight. Utah also won both their games over the weekend, so they moved ahead of the Mavericks as well. Not great for Dallas.
Yeah, just with Charlotte for one sec here too, you know, as it stands right now, they would play Atlanta, but they would have home court, and we saw just last week how critical that could be to the tie here, to have home court. So they're only a game up on the Hawks, but it could be huge. So Charlotte have just sort of strung it together when things look like they were really falling apart. Offensively, we know they can go out and get it, but can they stop anyone?
Yeah, I just can't get too excited about any of the 9 and 10 teams in either conference. Like I said, like the Pelicans, you could have as a win of the weekend. It's like, that's great. They're going to be in. They might have home court advantage in the first game. Then they got to win another one. You know, it's like, and then what are they going to do once they're in there? Like, any of these teams are going to get their asses handed to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, again,
outside of the Nets, of course.
Yeah, if it's the Raptors, you would obviously take them over Brooklyn if you can, which is probably going to happen. If it's a Brooklyn, if Brooklyn's in, I think most of us are going to take Brooklyn to win that one game against who they have. So
you're saying, the winner of the Hornets Hawks is going to play right now would be the Raptors.
Yeah, in Toronto.
Okay.
So, that's a better option than going to Brooklyn to try
to win. Yeah, but then my point is they get in, and then what are they smoked. Doing?
Yeah, they're not.
Because I have no faith in a lot of these teams, the Hawks and the Hornets.
But the Hornets just have to have something beyond the end of the regular season.
That's fair. You get LaMelo some reps.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Exactly, yeah.
Who do you have for Loser of the Weekend? Do we need earmuffs this guy?
Well, look, you know, usually if you do something on a Friday night, you can get away with it. You know, because it's like, feels like it's forever ago. But the Bulls...
Oh, I thought you meant with your wife.
Yeah, this guy had, I was like, dude, you had 2 Stellas down at the Fortress.
Oh, they're big Stellas too, aren't they? Like, anyway, the Bulls finished...
Lee just put up his hands like it's like a small bonsai tree or something.
It's massive. It's the opposite of what Giannis had with the Coors Light. We were the opposite. It looked like we were the biggest thing. Anyway.
I needed to help Lee hold his beer for him.
Yeah, Bulls... look, the Bulls got smoked on Friday night in Phoenix, and that wrapped up a little 3-game mini road trip. They lost to Sacramento, Utah, and Phoenix in those last 2 games. They really let go of the rope, giving up 125 and 129 there. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's really interesting because the Bulls got the Raptors tonight, massive, massive game there. Woo-hoo. And then they got 5 on the road again. And it's not easy. You got Milwaukee, 1. The Pelicans, tough team to sort of figure out now.
Yep.
Cavs. And then they got the Knicks and the Wizards. So a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But for Chicago right now, they just need to string wins together and sort of get that confidence again, because they could find themselves into the play-in tournament as well. If the Raptors go on a
That's
streak.
That's wild.
If the Raptors and the Cavs both kind of have a good end to the season here, Chicago could find themselves in the play-in. So it's been a really rough patch here since the All-Star break for Chicago. And you know, I know that they've had, you know, they've still got Lonzo Ball still out, Patrick Williams is back, Caruso is back, but it's tough to see them right now being better than some of those teams. So we'll see how it plans out. Tonight is just huge against Toronto. They've got to win that game, because if they lose it and the Raptors beat them, then there'll be, I think, a tie. I've got the standings here. Let me just check.
Almost a tie.
It's about half a game back. Half a game ahead, sorry. But with that schedule from the rest of the way out here for Chicago, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Anything to note there, noted Bulls fan?
Well, the Bulls were in first place 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
That's how recently they were good, and they're in danger of going into the play-in tournament. But honestly, Lee, when I saw you put the Bulls in as loser of the weekend, I thought you meant Red Bull. For the way they blew it!
We're gonna take it to the track.
That being said, it is good that Patrick Williams is coming back. He looks incredibly skinny in this video that they showed of him. I don't know why. So maybe he's going to be a little quicker out there. The bad news, though, is that Lonzo Ball, apparently his knee has not responded to the rehab.
Yep.
So he's still out. They need his three-point shooting. The Bulls need a counterpunch. Like, teams have really figured him out at this point. DeRozan said, I'm seeing the most double teams I've ever seen in my career. Teams are doing anything to say somebody else beat us. LaVine has it some nights. Some nights he doesn't have it. He's playing through an injury right now. But the problem, I hate to say it, my guy Vucci, he's got to be able to punish. You know, if you're double teaming DeRozan and then you're trying to double team LaVine, there's not that many players left. It's got to be Vooch who is showing up here, but he did not, especially against the Suns. DeAndre Ayton had 20 points, 8 of 11 shooting, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 5 of 6 in the lane. He dominated inside. So, yeah, the Bulls have looked pretty bad basically since the All-Star break. You say string some wins together. I would like them to string a win together. Yeah.
That is amazing. Tonight. 3 weeks ago, they were the number one team. And now, I mean, it is possible that they could not even make the playoffs. Like, worst case scenario, they fall into the play-in. You play the Nets, you lose that game, and then, you know, you get unfortunate, a one game, anything happens type of thing. That would just be insane. Mm. Like, in a month span, or a little bit more than a month span, to go from first in your conference to not even making the playoffs. And I don't think that's going to happen, but I guess it's in play.
I also didn't think that we'd be very excited for random NBA games on a Monday, you know, weeks before the season was done. I thought this was sort of the dead part of the season. Right. NCAA is on, but I'm pumped for Raptors, Bulls.
Yep.
Pumped for Wolves and the Mavs. Yep. I mean, mic up Patrick Beverley versus Luka Doncic, the real temper boy. How much is he going to be talking to Patrick Beverley and the refs tonight?
Did you hear the story
tonight?
About him? On the day we were talking about Luka as Mr. Temper Boy, because he leads the league in techs. He's got this whole thing now. He just sings to himself instead of complaining with the referees. That's like going to be his strategy, I guess.
Well, Dirk, I was going to say that's a classic Dirk move, but Dirk used to sing going to the free throw line yeah. right? So maybe you got some advice from Dirk, former Mav. Just sing it. The Red Bull was great. Even I got into the F1 on the weekend. Oh. Sports are just good right now.
You watching the race this weekend?
I like sports.
Nah, I wasn't watching the race, nah.
Man, you tricked everybody. You think you say you like all the sports, and then you don't even watch half the sports.
Bahrain? Nah, get off here.
Oh, Jesus.
Get me to
you weren't watching because of the track.
That's right. Oh. Get to Albert Park. Then that's when I jump in. Okay. Yeah, third race of the season, I think.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I assume that's the one in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, that's right, yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, let's hear from everybody else out there, your losers of the NBA weekend or losers from the start of the F1 season. Let us know. McLaren, rough start for
guys. Tough one for Danny Ric.
Yeah, I guess for Mercedes engines or whatever.
The power units. Yeah. They were looking pretty poor down there, but I was happy to see my guy Lewis somehow end up getting a podium. Yeah. That was lucky.
Yeah. No breaks coming up, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. If you're a fan of the F1, check out No Breaks with Trey and Graydon Gordian, breaking down that race and looking ahead to the rest of the season. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Lee will have Tweet of the Night.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What's with you always having Mondays, Tweet of the Night?
Switch it up. Okay, we can switch it up. It just, the rotation just works like that sometimes. You know, sometimes a guy's away or whatever. Someone says, hey, can you take Tweet? Whatever. So I'm just in the Monday routine. But yeah, I can switch it up. We can trade. So I've got a good one, I think, because it's kind of a, it's a Tweet of the Night, but it's also a fan sign. And you'll never guess who it was from.
Michael.
No woobly balls. No.
Serial sign sender.
The serial sign sender in a self-defeating Dan and Whammy. Now look at the drip he's got going on here.
Yep.
He's got a sign. He's got the No Dunks Classic Factory throwback t-shirt there. And he's got a sign that says, this was a real game of basketball.
8x11 piece
of
paper.
Yeah, we're not calling this a sign. That's a piece of paper.
That's a classic Michael sign, though. That's the way he
uses it. No, he's done real signs.
A piece of nice
marker
board.
On board, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a sign.
This was a sign.
This was a fan sign. And he wrote on there, though, if you see there, he wrote on there, see, many NBA arenas banned signs when there was a hubbub about Hong Kong. One in particular has kept signs out, but enforcement has been inconsistent. That explains this poor effort. It was a test. So,
I see what's going on here. Okay. So, no, sorry, Michael.
Yeah.
It makes more sense why you're not bringing your giant signs anymore, but he's going to get back to the giant signs, I think.
That's right, yeah. So, smuggled a sign in there and got away with it, and... yeah, great.
That is such actually a funny sign to have at a basketball game. This was a real game of basketball. Like, if you made that big and just held it up, you're getting on the podcast.
People start going, yeah, that is a real game of basketball.
That's good. All right. Nice to have him back in our lives.
Yes.
And the shirt. Yes. That shirt's popping.
Exactly.
I saw a bunch of people tagging us on Instagram this weekend, getting their No Dunks...
the jersey.
Cavs jerseys. People rocking them at the beach.
They look nice, man.
They look great.
Yeah. I'm starting to think about wearing one to pickup. Like, would it be weird to wear your own basketball jersey to a pickup game?
I think pickup's
they
fun.
Look sweet, though. Yeah. Some of those beach shots... real nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I'd seen a Classic Factory shirt in action yet.
In the wild?
I like to see it, yeah. In the wild. Yeah.
Well, go to nodunks.com. That one you definitely can still buy. It wasn't a limited run, that one. So if you want to...
I heard there may be more jerseys dropping in the future. Oh, sorry, I'm leaking alpha here.
Okay, let's get to pick'em results from Friday night. It was the Mavericks-Sixers game. Philly was favorites in this one. Brought to you by BetMGM, of course, this line. And, Philly took care of business. They covered. Yeah, handily in the end. They covered that, 2.5-point line. So that's a win for me. That's a win for Trey. And we're both 7-7. Tass took the L. He's 8-6. He was within striking distance. And Lee, unfortunately, you're coming up in last right now. You're 5-9 as we start to get closer to the end of March. So you got some work to do,
Ellis.
But what's tonight's game there, Tass?
Well, we got the Raptors and Bulls on the board. You know, that's a lock.
Oh, boy.
What I was surprised by is that I'm the only one on the Raptors. A 4.5-point dog in Chicago. The three of you guys believe that the Bulls are going to win by 5 or more. What's up with that there,
Well,
Skeets?
They played last night, not yesterday. The rare, Sunday night game?
East Coast,
strange.
8:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
Come on, Philadelphia.
So I'm a little worried about the back-to-back situation here.
Gotcha.
For the Raps, and the Bulls desperately need one. You know, you get a little boost there, Patrick Williams. Doesn't feel good always picking against my Raps, but I thought the line was a little strange, so that's why I'm going Chicago. Yeah.
Yep. I'm happy to take those 4 points.
Yeah, it's, you got something to play
with
there.
A little big line. I was a little surprised to see the Bulls getting that many points, considering how poorly they've played recently.
Yeah, Bulls, you know, they're coming back from a road trip, but they've had two good days off.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that good?
You know they're good.
They're really relaxed.
What the weather's been like in Chicago?
They're like, all right, we got time here to prepare. Anyway, who knows?
So three of us taking Chicago. They got to win by five or more. And yeah, Tassie, only one taking the wraps to cover there. So good luck, everybody. Let's call it there. Fun show. Hopefully a classic. You tell us. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us across all the social media channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunks Inc. That's INC at the end. And get yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. $1 a month for up to 6 months for new subscribers. And if you go to that that website, theathletic.com/NoDunks, they'll know that we sent you, which is always nice. So take advantage of that. We'll be back tomorrow here in the Classic Factory, 10 a.m. Eastern, live. Talk about tonight's big games, as Tass talked about. Some juicy ones there, including that Raptors-Bulls game. And then no breaks later in the day on Tuesday. So lots coming here from the Classic Factory. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Elton John is finally retiring. Is that right, Lee?
Yes.
You're wearing the farewell Yellow Brick Road shirt from his final tour, right?
From his final tour from 2018. This is 4 years old. Yeah. And I'll be seeing him again in September down here in Atlanta.
The final tour.
Final. Is it going to be
final
farewell?
The final show is actually at Dodger Stadium in LA. So maybe I'll call our old friend Matt and see if he wants to go along. And we'll go to that one together.
I'm sure he would love that.
I'm sure he would.
I wanted to know, what do you think about Daddy Yankee retiring from the music game?
Tough day. Tough day.
It is a tough day.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
But they're like boxers. Musicians never really retire. They're always
coming
back. Good to know.
We'll be back.
Embrace the day, people.